Rabbi Daniel Binder. Rabbi Daniel Binder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about lessons from COVID-19. And you and I were chatting yesterday and with a thought that, well, hold on, lockdown is ending. We've either learnt to speak Mandarin or we haven't. We've either lost our 5 kilos, Anati, or we haven't. And we could be very disappointed in ourselves.
This is the point in time when we have to make sure that we come away with a good memory from lockdown. Today I'm going to be speaking about the menorah, the famous candelabra, which appeared in our temple many years ago. I'm going to be speaking about the shuk, the market in Israel, where you can buy fresh produce at ridiculously overpriced levels. And I'm going to be talking about one of the big problems I've encountered living in South Africa. And hopefully we're going to tie it all up with a discussion about emerging from corona. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Go for it.
Okay, so the parasha, the bit of the Torah which you're going to be looking at this forthcoming Shabbat, is called Bahalosecha, and it recounts how Aaron, the priest, Aaron HaKohen, was a little sad. He was a human being. He was a great human being, but great human beings are also human beings. He was saddened by the fact that every other tribe out there, the Nasi, the prince of that particular tribe, had had the opportunity of bringing a lavish gift to God, and he and his tribe had been left out of that. God said, don't worry, Aaron, I know you're feeling a bit despondent about this, but I'm going to give you something special. I've got something that you can do. You can light the menorah every day. So instead of giving these lavish gifts, I know you're upset, but you're going to be able to light the menorah. And really, I want to discuss today, why should that have set his mind at ease? He was upset. He got left out. He had all these bad memories. How is that going to leave him feeling happy? God said, what you've got is better here. Shelcha gedola mishelahem. It's better. And I want to discuss, in the context of everything else, how should Aaron emerge from this victorious, feeling good about himself.
All right.
So, that's the menorah. South Africa. I think we can all agree that South Africa is a country which has lots of problems. The biggest problem I've encountered in South Africa is the following. Whenever you phone someone, not in South Africa, and they say, hi, how are you? Where are you? And you say, South Africa, they feel the need to say, ooh, South Africa. But they don't even do a very good impersonation. They do a New Zealand accent or a South American accent, tempting to say South Africa. This is a predictable problem that you know is going to confront you when you tell anyone not in South Africa that you're in South Africa. My mother does it. My siblings do it. My friends do it. Have you ever experienced this?
Oh, yeah.
Am I alone here?
No, you're not alone. It's so annoying.
Really annoying. Well, we're going to have this problem because for the conceivable future, whenever anyone mentions lockdown and corona, we're going to have it in our faces that, you know, for those of us who didn't have an amazingly productive corona, lose our 10 kilos, learn Mandarin Chinese, etc., all your wonderful examples, this is going to be, it's going to be like people doing a bad South African accent. It's going to be totally predictable and really annoying. What are we going to do about it? How can we utilize the remaining moments of lockdown to make sure that this stays a good memory, a powerful memory, a time which we're not afraid to be confronted with in the future? Yeah, so I think it's like this. And lockdown is finishing. It's finishing in some countries because half the population seem to have died. It finishes in other in other countries it's because the peak's been reached and they've done what they need to do, etc. But there's definitely this air, you know, level 5, level 4, level 3. Yesterday we actually went on an outing. We went on hennep trails and it felt different. It was different. The flora was beautiful. It was fantastic. It was actually a bit like being in Israel. The only difference was, I found, that if you're on a outing in Israel, people, you'll normally see hundreds of people sitting in the river. There was a river there with no one sitting in it, which was an interesting thing culturally.
Could have been the ball
here, but never mind. You know, get comfortable with. Anyway, so lockdown has had its challenges, but we all, as a family, when we went out yesterday to hennep, we just felt relieved. There was something, you know, it was great. It must be the case when we realize the sense of relief we get from being out of lockdown in some small way, even though, yes, it's still level 3, you realize that how tense it is. And, you know, I think we as a family, I mean, did okay. I'm not sure. I mean, family members, correct me if I'm wrong. No one's correcting me. But it's so intense and so brutal that it must have been very disappointing for many people. So how are we going to turn this into something positive? What on earth can we do about this? So I want to share a story with you about a friend of mine who called me a few days ago. He was in the shuk in Israel, the Machane Yehuda shuk in Jerusalem, and he phoned me miles away. He said, I'm looking for a not-so-expensive fish shop. I found a shop where salmon is a ridiculous price. I remember you telling me once that there's a shop where the prices are a little low, etc. I said, yeah, Bensi, he's a great guy, great fish, great prices. That's the kind of advert you'd get on Chai FM, right? Yeah. Bensi, great fish, great prices. So I said, yeah, Bensi, look for it. 20 minutes later, he WhatsApps me and says, Google just can't deal with this. Google doesn't know where Bensi is. So I said something radical to him. I said, Ben, I'm going to call him Ben with two N's so as to preserve his anonymity, even though his real name is Ben, my friend, with one N. I said, Ben, have you considered asking a real person where Bensi is? 1 minute later, he WhatsApped me. He said, found it. Great idea. Amazing. So here was Ben. Possibly in the context of weeks of lockdown, he's forgotten to actually ask people how to, you know, help him find something. It's all about Google. It's all about the technology. And it wasn't working for him. So I think this is the guide from the Torah, potentially, for how to emerge with a positive experience of lockdown. Because when we think about Aaron HaKohen, Aaron the priest, all those many years ago who was upset, God wasn't saying, I'm going to give you another memory to compete with those bad memories. You were offended when tribe after tribe after tribe did something which you couldn't participate in. To populate the period we've been through with new good memories is very difficult. We're nearly at the end of it. If it was bad, it's going to be very difficult now to generate some good memories to drown out the bad memories. But we have a principle, actually, it appears in the Talmud, that Osi Ma'aseh U'Mevatel Machshava, a deed can come along and can undo thought. If we actually translate something into action, and we're left with an action, particularly if it's a sustained action, an action which we're going to assume, an action which we're going to carry out moving forward, and it's positive, and that can act as an affirmation of, this is something I learned either in lockdown or on our way out from lockdown, I think that can be incredibly powerful. So what God gave Aaron was the mitzvah, the privilege of lighting candles every day forever, which carried on until the Beit HaMikdash was sadly destroyed. Well, doing something every day, a real action, is going to drown out any bad memories. Action speaks far louder than words, and it certainly speaks far louder than some memories. So I want to put it to people that if you haven't had the best lockdown, well, it's not too late. You can still galvanize what we've got, what we did, and turn it into a positive experience. For example, if you realize that coming out of a lockdown, wow, we've had the opportunity of going on a family outing, and it was amazing, and we can take our lesson with us, and every week, every 2 weeks, whatever, we can go on a family outing, and we can even call this our Corona outing, our celebration of the end of Corona outing. We're going to make this, we're going to turn this into a value. The fact that we picked something up, not a disease hopefully, we picked up a value as a result of Corona, I think that will drown out any negative experience that you picked up along the way. So you have family outings, family dinners. This can be our Corona dinner. This can be the less, you don't have to call it the Corona dinner. That doesn't sound too attractive. But if you say that this is the thing that we learned during the period of Corona, that's going to be amazing. And I think it has more broad application than just that. I think anyone who's mired, anyone who's caught up in a situation where they're being misinterpreted, it's all a bit muddy, it's all a bit murky, and no one really understands what they mean, such as many politicians at the moment are saying the wrong things. They're being misunderstood, potentially deliberately, potentially not. It's being misconstrued. They haven't got a hope through explaining what they're trying to do of getting their message across, and they're going to be taken to pieces, whatever they say. Action is going to speak far louder than words. If they go and do something active, that's going to be fantastic.
And that's going
if
to change
families now, people emerging, can do something active, that's going to be a way in which we can turn Corona into a positive experience retrospectively.
That's where we are going to leave it, Rabbi Daniel Beiler. Thank you. As always, interesting thoughts, Zanati. I no doubt it resonates for you.
I love that. Action definitely does speak louder than
and
words.
And you can reframe it, which I think
exactly.
is...
Exactly.